Good morning. It is 10:04 a.m. We are here today, July 8, 2020, in the OPA hearing room, Suite 907 of the DNA building in Hagatna, Guam, for the continuation of the formal hearing of OPA PA 19-010 and 20-001. GlidePath Marianas Operations, Inc. versus the Guam Power Authority. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J.F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jared Hernandez and Vince Duenas. Will appellant GlidePath please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, again, Mr. Public Auditor. I am Joshua Walsh. We represent GlidePath, the appellant in this matter. Mr. Joseph Bazanis, to my right, our institutional representative present in the room is Mr. Peter Rood. He's behind me, and I believe we have Ms. Erin Hazen with GlidePath on the Teams call.
Thank you. Thank you. Will purchasing agency GPA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Mr. Public Auditor. Grant Botha, GPA General Counsel. On behalf of GPA, to my left is Tracy Nantiaco, Assistant General Manager for Administration. Institutional rep, and we have no one on Teams.
Thank you. Will interested party NG Solar please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, my name is R. Marcel Johnson, and together with my co-counsel, Anita Arriola, we represent NG Solar. As institutional representatives, we have Darren Mingo, president of the room, and via Teams, we have Katrina Capite and Matteo Leonetti.
Thank you, we may proceed.
Mr. Public Auditor, I believe GPA has no further witnesses.
We do not.
And so we will go ahead and call our first witness, who is Darren Mingo, who is president.
Please stand and raise your right hand. Please state your name.
Darren Mingo.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning, Mr. Mingo.
Good morning.
Could you please just one more time state your name and spell it for the record?
Sure. My name is Darren Mingo, D-A-R-I-N-M-I-N-G-O.
Where do you work?
I work for NG Services US.
And what is your job title?
My job title is Regional Operations Director.
Where does your region include?
My region includes the Pacific. It's Hawaii, Guam, basically everything that goes from the West Coast out to our other business units in Asia Pacific and Australia and New Zealand.
So where do you live, though?
I live in Honolulu.
So did you fly from Hawaii to Guam to testify at this hearing?
Yes, I did.
I'd like to go over sort of NG first.
Sure.
What does NG do?
NG Group is a world leader in renewable energy production and low-carbon energy and services. We are the largest independent power producer in the world.
Is NG involved in solar energy production?
Yes, it is.
Is it involved in solar plus storage, or ESS, energy production?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Is it involved in other types of renewable energy as well?
NG is involved in all types of renewable energy. That would include wind, hydro, geothermal, even hydrogen, in addition to solar.
Okay. What is NG's worldwide solar energy PV production right now?
Our worldwide plant capacity right now is 26,900 megawatts. And to try and give that a little bit of perspective or reference, the people of Guam use a maximum capacity, or maximum capacity that we see on Guam is about 228 megawatts. That was in February of 2020. That was pre-COVID. And our renewable capacity could cover that demand over 100 times over. So enough renewables to cover the demands of the entire island of Guam more than 100 times over.
Just to be clear, you said renewables there. Did you mean a specific type of renewable?
I'm sorry, PV.
Okay. And what about in the United States? What is NG's production in the United States?
NG's production or capacity in the United States is currently at 1,700 megawatts of PV plant, and that would be probably a little bit more than 30 times the size of the projects that we're discussing now.
Now, the plant that is the subject, excuse me, of this invitation for bid, what type of plant is that?
The plant that we're discussing now is PV plus storage or PV plus BESS, battery energy storage system.
Okay. And how many PV plus storage plants does NG have in operation right now?
Well, I'll start by describing NGEPS, which is our team that works on storage solutions for both utility scale and commercial and industrial. That team has 40 projects. Out of those 40 projects, 27 of them would be the PV plus BESS. And then I can further break that down. Out of those 27, 16 of those projects would be on islands or in an islanded solution or location. And when I say islanded solution or location, what I mean is it's separate from a larger utility grid, independent.
How many employees does NG have roughly?
NG has about 160,000 employees worldwide.
And how many in North America?
North America has approximately 6,000 employees.
And what continents does NG operate?
NG operates on all continents, with a little asterisk there that even Antarctica is included because of an electrical study and commissioning project that we did at the Princess Elizabeth Polar Station.
Now, specifically with respect to PV plus ESS projects on islands, can you tell us a little bit about NG's experience with those?
Sure. As I stated earlier, we have about 16 projects that would either be considered on islands or islanded. A couple of examples that are close to here would be the island of Lifu, which is in the Loyalty Islands. That's off the coast of New Caledonia, which in itself is off the coast of northeastern Australia. A second project that would be in the Pacific region is a small island called Flinders Island. Flinders Island is off the coast of Tasmania, which, as we know, is off the southeast coast of Australia. Flinders is a little bit unique. It's a small island, population's about 900 people. It's located at latitude 40 south. That's also known as the Roaring Forties for sailors, which means that the weather is extreme pretty much year-round. And we were down there designing and installing a small microgrid, again, an isolated grid that had PV plus storage plus generation. Another project would be Semakau Island. That's a small island off of Singapore. And Semakau Island is kind of unique in that there's a project there called REEDS. And REEDS is the Renewable Energy Integration Demonstrator Singapore. That's the acronym. That's what the acronym stands for. And it's sponsored by Nanyang Technical University in Singapore. And the idea is it's basically an incubator. It's a living lab. It's a open project to study and prove renewable technologies, including wind, solar, geothermal, hydrogen. And NG has involvement down there. We're doing a storage component. We're doing a distributed energy resource component, which is actually hydrogen. And we're doing microgrid controls. So world leaders in renewable energy get to go down there and experiment and actually prove their technologies.
So does NG have PV plus storage installed in Semakau Island too?
I don't know if they have, let me see, PV. I don't know if we did the PV component, but we do have a storage component down there along with a hydrogen component and then control systems that we're using to integrate those renewables.
Okay. What about Hawaii?
In Hawaii, HECO, Hawaiian Electric, just awarded a series of renewable projects. It was the HECO Phase 2 their phase two renewable solicitation. And out of that solicitation, they awarded 16 projects. Those 16 projects were for PV plus storage. 13 of them were PV plus storage. 3 of them were storage only. Out of those 16 projects, the total capacity that they were looking for or that they got was roughly 500 megawatts of PV and a little over 2,800 megawatt hours of storage capacity. ENGIE's award in that series was for a project that was very similar in size to what we're doing today. It's a 60 megawatt PV field with a 240 megawatt hour battery. And it was designed and proposed by the same team that did this project here in Guam.
Are you familiar with what other companies won awards on that Hawaii Phase 2?
I can think of a couple of names that are the sort of the world leaders and also had a relationship here to this Guam award. AES, who was the second place bidder here, won an award for a project on that HECO Phase 2. And in addition, a team from Hanwha, I believe they're called 174 Global Power, that's their North American branch of Hanwha, they also won an award.
What about GlidePath? Did GlidePath win one of these awards?
GlidePath did not win an award. Now, I can't say whether they even submitted a bid because you don't know who the bidders are. You just get a list of the awardees, and GlidePath was not on that list.
Okay. Now, I'd like to talk about certain components of ENGIE. What is ENGIE EPS?
So under the ENGIE Group umbrella, ENGIE EPS would be our storage team. And that storage team designs and implements storage solutions both on the utility scale as well as commercial industrial scale.
And did ENGIE EPS work on or help prepare ENGIE's bid for this invitation for bid?
Yes, they did.
Okay. What is ENGIE Solar?
ENGIE Solar, again under the ENGIE Group umbrella, is the team that would look at utility scale solar projects worldwide.
And did they work on ENGIE's bid for this invitation for bid?
Yes, they did.
Now that we've talked about ENGIE a little bit, I'd like to go back and sort of talk about your experience personally.
Sure.
You explained earlier that you are, ENGIE's representative for this region.
That's correct.
Where did you go to college?
University of New Hampshire.
Okay. And what did you study there?
My first year was mechanical engineering. Second year was electrical engineering. Third year, I switched to interdisciplinary mathematics and ended up graduating with a Bachelor of Science in interdisciplinary math with an economics minor.
What year did you graduate?
1987.
And are you a licensed contractor?
I am a licensed contractor.
Are you a licensed contractor in Guam?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Are you a licensed contractor anywhere else?
Also in Hawaii.
Okay. About your Guam license, what did you need to do in order to obtain your Guam contractor's license?
So there's an application process, and the application, you need to show education and relevant experience for the license that you're sitting for. Once you submit that application and it gets approved, there's a two-part exam. The first part is general law, so you need to understand the local laws and regulations in addition to some of the OSHA regulations. And then the second part would be the engineering exam or the construction exam for the type of license that you're sitting for. I sat for the general engineering contractor license, and I also have a specialty license here in Guam for cranes.
Have you ever worked on Guam before?
Yes, I have.
When?
My first foray over to Guam was in 1988, when I came over as an underwater construction inspector, and I was a diver whose company was contracted by the U.S. Navy to watch the initial construction of the ammunition or kilo wharf over on the Navy base on Arrodi Point.
Do you have any other work experience on Guam?
Yeah, during that time, the company also was engaged in underwater construction management, construction oversight of the Hagatna outfall repair, and that occurred around that same time, the late 80s. I left for a period. They sent me up to British Columbia and the Pacific Northwest, and from there I ended up taking a series of jobs with a company that sent me around the country, around the world. Came back here in around 2008 after being based in Hawaii for several years. And that was with a joint venture partner, Watts Constructors, where we were making some precast product for a submarine pier that we were building back in Pearl Harbor. So I came over and oversaw some of that production and the logistics of shipping that material back and forth between Guam and Hawaii.
Okay. Do you have any other work experience on Guam?
Yeah, as a contractor in Hawaii, we saw that there was the big military buildup coming. People of Guam held industry forum days in the late 2009, early 2010. So our company, Healy Tibbetts Builders, made a strategic decision to open an office here in Guam. And so my boss, the president of that company, said, Darren, you've got the Guam experience. Go over there and get us set up, get a license, and let's be ready to work. So that's what I did.
Okay. And who's the responsible managing employee for Healy Tibbetts?
That was me. I'm the responsible managing employee, RME.
Okay. So how is it that you wound up working in NGO?
So after doing several projects here on Guam and also in Hawaii, a lot of those were for the federal government during this buildup. A lot of the work was behind the fence at Big Navy. I ended up being recruited by ENGIE. They were looking to expand into this Pacific region. As I said, they had a good presence in North America off to the West Coast, or up to the West Coast. They have Asia Pacific. They have Australia and New Zealand. And they wanted somebody that would help them in this region. They looked at my decades of construction experience and they were able to recruit me away.
Does ENGIE Services US, are they registered with the Contractors Licensing Board?
Yes, they are.
Okay. And who is their RME?
I'm their RME, yeah.
Okay. I'd like to switch gears here and talk about this particular invitation for bid.
Sure.
When did you first become aware of this invitation for bid?
I became aware of this bid, I believe it was early December of 2017, which would have been 2 or 3 weeks after the procurement notice was posted on the PPA website.
Have you read the invitation for bid?
Yes, I have.
What about the amendments?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Are you familiar with them?
Yes.
So, in your preparation for ENGIE to bid this on this invitation for bid, did that require you to come to Guam at all?
There wasn't a specific requirement to come to Guam. In fact, the site visit, I don't even believe, was a prerequisite for bidding. However, the way ENGIE works, and one of the reasons that they recruited me to work for them, was they want specific local knowledge before they enter into a territory about how to work. And so I came over to Guam close to a dozen times between the initial site visit and the time of the pricing proposal.
What did you do while you were here?
So my role as the operations director, it's almost like a project sponsor or project executive. And what I did was I would meet with members of the ENGIE EPS team, the battery team, on certain occasions here on Guam, introduce them to engineers and to contractors. And I would also meet with the ENGIE solar team here on Guam and bring them around to the engineers and the contractors that I felt were best suited to work with us based on my experience here on Guam working with some of those specific contractors.
Okay. Just about some of those contractors, has ENGIE engaged an engineering firm here on Guam?
Yes, we have. We'll do our own design of the system, but then to ensure that we're complying with the local rules and regulations and to help with the permitting process, we'll engage with a local engineer. And the engineer that we're using is TG Engineers. And That's actually, TG is Tor Gudmundsson, and when I mentioned my initial diving experience in the late 80s, Tor and I actually worked together as underwater inspectors back in 1988 for the same company. When they sent me off island, Tor stayed, and he's been very successful here.
Do you know if TG Engineers has any experience on solar projects on Guam?
Yes, I do. I believe that they were on the owners or GPA side for phase one, and then for phase two, they're representing the contractors as their engineer.
Understood. What other local subcontractors have you partnered with?
So the team I put together, again, I either knew of them or I would check with my friends that are currently running some of the largest projects here on Guam for recommendations. And the team I have would consist of Smithbridge, for example, Smithbridge Guam. They're actually the contractor that drove the piles for the Phase 1 Dandan site. I have EMB Electrical on my team, and EMB Electrical is the electrical contractor that did all the DC and AC wiring on the Phase 1 Dandan site. I also have ICC, and ICC was basically the contractor for Phase 1 Dandan that did the transmission line from the site to the Talapopo substation. They're well known here for civil works, so I have ICC on the team as our civil contractor.
Now, specifically dealing with NG's bid on this IFB, what role did you play in preparing that document?
As the technical proposal was written, what my job is to review that to make sure that the requirements are listed and answered. And I have a couple of decades of experience in responding to federal contracts, either for NAVFAC, which is Naval Facilities Engineering Command, or the Army Corps of Engineers, or state entities. And so as a project sponsor, it's my job essentially to make sure that it's complete. I can't answer all the technical specifications. I leave that to the engineers to make sure that they've got that right. But I can look to make sure that there's completeness in the answers.
Did you physically turn in the invitation for bid here?
I turned in the pricing proposal. Again, it was a two-phase process. The technical proposal was submitted by one of our business development team from NG Solar. Her name was Anne Del Mar, and she flew over from Paris to hand deliver the technical proposal.
What about the price proposal?
The price proposal was something that I hand delivered, so I flew over and delivered that.
Okay. I just have a couple more questions.
Sure.
Specific to the Dandan project, are you familiar with it?
As Healy Tibbetts Builders, when it was being solicited for construction, I did submit a bid for the installation of the piles, and I was beat by Smithbridge, but now they're on my team to do this project.
Okay, so who did the work on constructing the Dandan power plant?
I believe the EPC contractor was named Sonora. That's the contractor that I bid to, so I was a subcontractor for the mechanical installation, or unsuccessful subcontractor.
I have no further questions at this time. I'll pass them over.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've met before. You know, I'm Joe Rosano. I represent GlidePath.
Yes, sir.
So you spent a considerable amount of time telling me about Angie's solar experience. What particular experience do you have in solar and storage construction?
Well, when I was hired in 2016, there was a recent award in Hawaii, and that recent award was a multi-year construction contract or energy savings master plan with the Hawaii Department of Education. So under that project, I was directly responsible for the installation of 81 solar systems or PV systems. Additionally, we are just now completing, I'm actually waiting for HECO to or an email from my project manager on a project that we're doing for the city and county of Honolulu, and that's a 3.5 megawatt PV plant for the city and county.
And they include storage?
No, they do not.
Okay, so all of those 81 systems that you just told me about, none of them include storage?
That's correct.
Have we ever constructed a, you said you have a lot of construction experience, I don't doubt anything you said. I just want to know if you ever constructed a solar plus storage facility.
No, I haven't constructed a solar plus storage facility, but again, it's designed by our engineers, and when it comes to the construction part, as long as you're well-versed in construction and you know who to hire as far as qualified subcontractors, it's a matter of putting that system together and then having the internal engineers come back and commission, approve the system and test it.
And as the RME, you'll have to sign off on all of that, right?
That's correct.
So you've never done it?
That's correct.
Thank you.
You said you had some, you were in charge of putting the, let me make sure I understand. Your role in putting the IFB together was, I wrote down, but make sure I'm correct, to make sure it was complete. Is that correct?
I didn't put the IFB together. I submitted, or I think what you meant to ask was the proposal. If the IFB comes from the owner?
Yeah, I understand that. Yes, the response. Your Angie's proposal. Yes, correct.
Right. So we have our technical writers and our proposal managers put together the proposal. And my portion or my responsibility is sort of an editorial check, an eyes on check to make sure that it's complete, that we haven't missed any sections, that perhaps in printing or consolidation of the different components from different parts of the NG group, that it's all together.
Okay. So I guess since you didn't testify at all about the actual proposal or the technical requirements of the proposal, you weren't involved in that.
No, that's right. We have internal engineers, and two of them are going to be speaking after me. They can speak to the technical requirements.
How did you select TG Engineers as your local engineer?
Well, again, I knew of TG Engineers from their reputation, also from my relationship with TOR, in addition to using TG Engineers on some of the federal contracting that I did from 2010 to 2016. They're a well-regarded firm, and they've done a lot of work both behind the fence, as we say, which means on naval property, and also for Gov Guam, both GPA and GWA.
Does Ken Flores work there?
Yes, he does.
Are you friends with him?
No, I've only met him during this introduction into phase three.
So then you were bouncing around in Guam in 1988 with all these other companies and never met him?
No.
Okay, I guess you said there were 16 island projects that Angie's working on. And how many of those were operating at the time of the bid submission in May of 2019?
I can't say for sure. You can ask the NGEPS engineers that are going to be coming on after me, but I believe it's all 16. These are not development projects. There's 4,000 megawatt hours that EPS has in development. So I believe that the 16 projects that I'm aware of are all built.
Are they all full load shift projects like this one?
No.
Are any of
them? I don't believe that they are load shift projects.
Are any of them?
I don't know the answer to that. I think that this project may be somewhat unique in that it's a full load shift. I think that other PV plus storage projects actually have a dispatchability component, which means that the energy that's stored in that battery can be used as a load shift. So if you have energy stored, you can dispatch it at 3 p.m, or you can dispatch it at 10 p.m. So I think any of the PV plus storage projects have a load shift capability.
I didn't hear about experience that Anji had on military properties. If they ever won a military bid.
Yes, they have.
Okay. And you know where?
I don't know where. We do have a federal group on the mainland, and they have done work for the federal government. And in addition, as I stated, I have the federal experience here in a couple of decades working both in Hawaii for NAVFAC Pacific, NAVFAC Honolulu, NAVFAC Marianas.
Mr. Mingo, so even though this bond project may be unique, NG does have experience, as you indicated, with HECO, with PV plus battery storage. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, with HECO?
Yeah, with HECO, those are battery plus storage.
That's correct.
Okay, they just may not have that, I guess, as bond has, is a full load shift, but they certainly have batteries to go along with it that provide a storage function.
Yes, and again, you can ask the engineers, but I think that this project may be somewhat of a load shift project because HECO and the project that we're doing on the Big Island of Hawaii is actually getting to that point where it's reaching a lot of the PV capacity. So with our generation and our balance, we're putting that system, that PV, into a 240 megawatt hour battery. I believe it may be a load shift.
I don't have any other questions. No questions from us.
How recent are ESS?
I think that you'll hear from our experts this afternoon that ESS goes back to the Our portion or our investigation into ESS, I think, goes back to 2007, so almost 15 years.
But phase one here does not have ESS, right?
Phase one does not have ESS here, that's right.
Just so that everybody knows, I've been here since pre-Laddie. So I know Ken and I know Tor. They're not friends. I don't drink with either one of them, but I know of them, so since you mentioned it, I didn't want to have it seem like I didn't disclose that I've known him. And for full disclosure, in 1976, Governor Berdalio and I were pushing wind energy, and the two of us were known as Don Quixote and Sancho Pons. Actually traveled to Guadalajara and Switzerland to try to bring alternative energy, and Ken was my nemesis, the GPA who did not want to do alternate energy. So, just so I'm clear on, and my first house in Talofofo, I had, I think, built the first solar heating panels on the roof. So, I've been into this for, from before you, either one of you were born.
At least Josh.
Well, that for sure. Okay, so I just wanted to put that on the table for them. This has been something of interest to me. Okay, so that was it?
For this morning, if we could come back at 3:30 for our engineers, we'd appreciate it.
Okay, well, I mean, I looked at that time clock, and I did say that we would. So it's 3:30?
Yeah, that would be about 7:30 a.m. in Milan, so right in the middle of the night there.
So we'll wrap up those two this afternoon?
Hopefully.
Yeah, how long do you think the directs will be at both those places? Are we going to get them done by 5 or 7? Or?
Yeah, I think we should be, just the directs alone, I think we should be able to finish by 5. So if we need to go a little later, would that be okay with everybody? Just to finish them up.
Mm-hmm. All right, go take a nap. So we'll break from.
Great. Thank you.
We're off the record at 10:41 a.m.